Hey folks, Preet here. Former President Donald Trump's Manhattan criminal trial continued with high-profile testimony by adult film star Stormy Daniels and her former lawyer, Keith Davidson, who secured the hush money payment. The Trump Organization's former controller also testified about how Trump repaid Michael Cohen. And Trump's former campaign press secretary, Hope Hicks, testified about the campaign's reaction to the release of the Access Hollywood tape. Meanwhile, the judge fined Trump $1,000 for another gag order violation and warned Trump that future violations could result in jail time. Joyce Vance and I discuss all that and more on the Cafe Insider podcast. If you're a member of Cafe Insider, head over to the Insider feed or click the link in the show notes of this podcast to listen to the full analysis. Stay tuned, listeners. Keep listening here for an excerpt from our discussion. And to become a member of Cafe Insider, head to cafe.com/insider. You can try the membership for just $1 for 1 month. That's cafe.com/insider. Now on to the show. Maybe we'll go in reverse chronological order. As we are recording this and having this conversation, on Tuesday morning, there's a skirmish going on about the scope of Stormy Daniels' anticipated testimony, what she can talk about, what she can't talk about. In particular, there's been a debate in court, apparently, about what level of detail they can get into with respect to this, the sexual interactions that Stormy and Donald Trump have engaged in or did engage in. And I will tell you, the last thing in the world that I want to hear as a human who has to eat later today is any of those details. What about as a legal matter?
You know, I think as a legal matter, for one thing, if the prosecution had, let's just say, not put Stormy Daniels on the witness stand, I think the jury would have wondered why, right? And as a prosecutor, you can't afford to have that enter into deliberations. They have told the judge that it's important to them to elicit the details of how it happened and what she thought afterwards. And you know, this is a case that will turn in large part on the prosecution's ability to show that Donald Trump was involved in this crime, right? It's clear that a crime occurred. The question is, what was Trump's level of involvement and knowledge? I don't know that Daniels will add anything to that, but perhaps, you know, she will be able to talk about their conversations in a way that the prosecution finds helpful.
Well, it's a little weird, and I'm having trouble unpacking this from the perspective of balancing both the legal strategy for the defense and also comforting Donald Trump, right? So the fact that Donald Trump may have had a sexual relationship with Stormy Daniels, not illegal, right? It provides context, but not illegal and not prosecutable by the DA or anyone else, assuming it was consensual. The problem is that not only has Donald Trump insisted on this, but he insisted, apparently, that Todd Blanche's lawyer also insist in the opening statement that the claim of a sexual relationship is false. He did that in the opening statement, did he not?
Yes, he did, absolutely.
So he's taken the position that Stormy Daniels is a liar, right? And essentially he's taken the position that she's both a liar and an extortionist. Now, in any cross-examination of a person who is a salacious witness, whom you've already alleged to be a liar, it would seem to me that you would get into that. How do you not get into that? And how do you at the same time say that stuff can't come in if reasonably it's going to be one of the bases of your crosses, unless they just thought it was a good idea to make that assertion about the falsity of the claim of a sexual relationship in the opening statement? And then they don't want to touch it at all. Like, do you see the gap there?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Look, I think that they had no choice. I think that that was direct orders from the client, right? Deny the relationship.
Well, how do you not cross Stormy Daniels on the fact of the sex?
I think what you've got to do is attack her credibility and imply that she's making it up. Because if you don't, as you say, there is a real gap between what was offered in opening statements and where the defense ends up. And juries punish defendants for those sorts of gaps.
Yeah, and isn't the argument, I'm not there in court, I'm not reading a live transcript, but I would imagine that the DA's office is saying things like, they've already opened the door, they've already said that the relationship didn't happen, that has already impugned the credibility of this important witness for the government. So the jury deserves to hear directly from the witness's mouth her version of the facts. And we don't have to wait until the door is opened on cross-examination. If they suggest she's a liar or they suggest she's an extortionist, on direct examination, A, to provide context, and B, to rebut a claim already made that didn't have to be made in the opening statement and doesn't even directly bear on the legal issues here, we should be able to ask her about it. In what universe will they not be permitted to ask about that?
Yeah, I think that they get to do all of that.
Can I make another sort of slightly odd observation? It doesn't necessarily have bearing on the case legally, but it just occurred to me that one of the arguments, and a central argument, right, by the prosecution in making people understand the narrative of the whole case is that the fact of this relationship, its claimed relationship, on the eve of the election in 2016 was going to be so damaging to Donald Trump, right? You know, the vision of the relationship and then the paying of a former adult film star, all of that, terrible for the election, might have derailed the election. And I get that argument. Here we are 8 years later. Trump is a presumptive nominee again. And now all we hear about every day is the fact that this relationship happened. I'm guessing most people believed that it did, even Trump supporters. And it doesn't seem to matter one whit to his election prospects. Any irony in that?
You know, things lose their shock value when you hear them over and over again. We've even seen Trump lean into that in some cases where, for instance, if he knows bad facts are coming out about him, he tries to draw the sting in advance, repeat them. So by the time that, say, you hear the January 6th committee, the House committee testimony, or the Mueller report comes out, some of those facts are known facts and they've lost their power to shock. And I don't know if irony is the right word. I think it's more like enormous sadness that this is where we are as a country, that someone who clearly engaged in this conduct is a candidate for the Republican Party for the presidency again.
Was it Senator Moynihan who talked about defining deviancy down?
Oh, I don't remember that.
It's kind of like that, right? So something that was shocking and might have derailed his campaign 8 years ago, even if it just sort of seeped out in an article or two, now it's wall-to-wall coverage of the fact that he paid off an adult film star to keep her quiet about an alleged affair has no bearing at all 8 years later. So we kind of have been so inundated by scandal with Donald Trump that things matter less as time goes by, to his voters at least. But I wonder maybe if there's an argument to be construed from that weird observation that the Trump folks can make. I don't think they can. Because their argument is, this was not done for purposes of the election, right? So it doesn't convert from a misdemeanor to a felony. And kind of an argument, which I think would be very, very difficult to construct in this context, in this trial, and probably not permissible, is, look, it wasn't about the election. It was about protecting my family, protecting my wife from embarrassment. And part of the proof of that is, look, now everyone has heard about all this. We're in the middle of a trial. And it's not appreciably hurting my election prospects now. So it wasn't really going to hurt my election prospects back then. So that's not why I did it. Does that make any sense?
I think that argument fails. For one thing, now is not then. And back then, the Access Hollywood tape had just been released. There was testimony early in the trial, including from Hope Hicks, talking about how much anxiety there was. Trump was losing people in the Republican Party who had backed him. There was even a conversation at the RNC about whether or not they could pull the nomination. They felt like one more thing, Stormy Daniels, would probably push them over the edge. And so that really helps to explain the case. And there's also commentary from Trump where he tries to get out of paying the money after the election is over, tries to slow down the payment. It won't matter as much after the election is over, which I think puts the lie to the notion that this was about protecting Melania.
Going back to how Stormy Daniels will be received by the jury, you know, we've talked a lot about the credibility problems and the lack of sympathy people will have for Michael Cohen. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. Stormy Daniels, you know, putting everything else aside, you know, basically, I don't want to keep using the word extortionist, but that's the argument and that's the phraseology, if permitted, that Todd Blanche and his team are going to want to use or plant that idea in the minds of the jurors. How sympathetic is she going to be?
I mean, that's a great question. You know, we don't know for sure. She's on the witness stand. They're going through her history and her background, how she got into dancing. She apparently explored a 2009 political run in her home state of Louisiana as a witness. you know, the prosecutors are clearly trying to build some rapport between her and the jury rather than just showing her as a one-dimensional figure. And their success, I think, will play a big role in how her testimony is received.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about how this plays out. And I don't know how prudish or non-prudish any of the members of the jury are.
Oh, come on, Preet. It's a New York jury. This is not Alabama.
Yeah, well. The story is this person, this adult, had a consensual sexual relationship with a famous married man, and then on the eve of the election, demanded to be paid a large amount of money to keep her mouth shut. I don't know. Could there not be a juror or two who says, yeah, I believe all that to be true, and that's a terrible sort of origin story for this criminal trial. And it's tawdry, and you know, I don't like it. And nullify.
It is. But I'm not sure that the jury will punish Stormy Daniels for that because there was someone else in the room with her too. And maybe they're both equally culpable if that's how the jury views this.
I guess my only point is I haven't heard a lot of discussion until this moment when her testimony is now beginning about how that's going to play out. We spent a lot of time talking about Michael Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And Stormy Daniels has been treated somewhat benevolently. And maybe that's right. And maybe she's in some measure, I don't know how you would make the argument, some measure a victim here, but you can imagine that they're going to put her in quite a bad light. And I think they have some basis to do that, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think they will. And there's another case. I can't remember. I want to say it's a California case, but I'm not sure if that's accurate, where Trump actually got a judgment against her in a defamation case. So I think the defense will have some cross-examination fodder. They will, you know, probably, as you say, try to describe her as an extortionist, as someone who has an axe to grind, and is just looking for a little bit of the limelight to advance her own lagging career. I think that's what we'll hear from them.
I guess the question is it possible? I find it difficult to think this way because this is not how I think about Donald Trump. He thinks of himself as a victim. Is it possible through Stormy Daniels and through effective cross-examination, can they do a little bit in the way of painting Donald Trump as the victim here, who should not be further punished by a criminal verdict in this trial? I don't know, probably not, but I'm just raising the question.
I think it's an interesting strategy though, right? I mean, it's almost a jury nullification effort. He has suffered enough, this poor man.
If the shoe fits.
And the real question is not whether they can convince 12 jurors of that. It's whether they can convince one juror of that and whether that juror will hold out in deliberations and hang the jury.
Is there a universe in which they could have decided not to call Stormy Daniels? I don't think so, because it would be a huge gap given the centrality of her role in all this. But what do you think about that?
I actually thought about that a lot. And for a while, I had convinced myself that they might not call her. But I go back to this notion, if you're a juror, and if this case is about Stormy Daniels, and if you don't hear from her, you wonder what the prosecution has to hide. And that means, I think, that if there are close calls to be made, you might not make them in favor of the prosecution. They had to call her for that reason.
Yeah, I think that's right. Do you think it's right that they called her after about 2 weeks and put in all these other witnesses first?
It's an interesting point to call her at. It suggests that they're not 100% comfortable. And remember, they don't own Stormy Daniels, right? She's not someone who is cooperating with the prosecution. I understand that they've had the opportunity to prepare her, maybe extensively, but she's unpredictable on the witness stand. This might be one of those witnesses where the judge has to direct her a couple of times to be responsive to the questions and not to make statements.
I keep focusing on the cross here because I think it is endlessly fascinating what the tactic should be. Do you have a view on how aggressive or non-aggressive the cross should be?
Like we were discussing before, they've really backed themselves into a corner by calling her essentially a liar in opening statement. They will have to take that on. But this is the kind of witness where you need to tread lightly. Stormy Daniels is a smart woman. She has repeatedly shown that she's very quick-witted, and they need to be careful about the questions that they ask her. They may find that they get too much out of her.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see how that plays out, and we'll see if any of our predictions bear out.
The other thing that we should say in that regard, right, is that there's a door opening problem. I mean, the judge has sort of limited the details of the sexual encounter she can testify to, but if they ask her the wrong question, they may open the door for her to make salacious comments about their client that he will not be happy to hear in the courtroom.
Yeah. I mean, as I've already suggested, I think the door has already been opened because they made blithely the claim that she's lying about the affair.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see. I don't see how the door is not open.
I don't think the judge is willing to let her go as far as you would.
I don't see how in this universe the door is not open. But look, again, the judge wants to be careful here not to allow things in. He's going to bend over backwards to some degree, I think somewhat wisely, to protect any verdict of conviction on appeal. You know, he's going to be careful about letting the prosecution go bananas on this, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you are a trial judge, you know, I'm married to one. Trial judges really don't like to get reversed. They take it very personally. And so in a normal case, they're careful. In this case, this judge, I think, has been meticulously careful. And of course, different grounds, the Molinow grounds about evidence of other crimes, but we just saw the Court of Appeals in New York reverse in Harvey Weinstein. We talked about that last week. That's a real cautionary tale for this judge. That little angel is sitting on his shoulder saying, be careful of what you do.
Thanks for listening. To hear more of our conversation, and never miss our weekly coverage of the Trump trials, the Supreme Court, and more, head to cafe.com/insider to become a member of Cafe Insider. You can try out the membership for just $1 for 1 month. That's cafe.com/insider.